Chapter 24. The weather began to bleaken as Richard made his way to Susan's flat. The sky, which had started out with such verve and spirit in the morning, was beginning to lose its concentration and slip back into its normal English condition, that of a damp and rancid dishcloth. Richard took a taxi, which got him there in a few minutes.
"They should all be deported," said the taxi driver as they drew to a halt.
Who should?" said Richard, who realised he hadn't been listening to a word the driver had said.
Said the driver, who suddenly realised that he hadn't been listening either. "Oh, the old lot of them. Get rid of the old bloody lot, that's what I say. And they're bloody newts," he added for good measure.
"Expect you're right," said Richard, and hurried into the house. Arriving at the front door of her flat, he could hear from within the sounds of Susan's cello playing a slow, stately melody. He was glad of that she was playing. She had an amazing emotional self-sufficiency and control, provided she could play her cello. He had noticed an odd and extraordinary thing about her relationship with the music she played. If ever she was feeling emotional or upset, she could sit and play some music with utter concentration, and emerge, seeming fresh and calm. The next time she played the same music, however, it would all burst from her and she would go completely to pieces. He let himself in as quietly as possible so as not to disturb her concentration. He tiptoed past the small room she practiced in, but the door was open, so he paused and looked at her, with the slightest of signals that she shouldn't stop. She was looking pale and drawn, but gave him a flicker of a smile and continued bowing with a sudden intensity. With an impeccable timing, of which it is very rarely capable, the sun chose that moment to burst briefly through the gathering rain clouds, and as she played her cello, a stormy light played on her and on the deep old brown of the wood of the instrument. Richard stood transfixed. The turmoil of the day stood still for a moment and kept a respectful distance. He didn't know the music, but it sounded like Mozart, and he remembered her saying that she had some Mozart to learn. He walked quietly on and sat down to wait and listen. Eventually she finished the piece, and there was about a minute of silence before she came through. She blinked and smiled and gave him a long trembling hug, then released herself and put the phone back on the hook. It usually got taken off when she was practicing. "Sorry," she said, "I didn't want to stop." She briskly brushed away a tear, as if it was a slight irritation. "How are you, Richard?" He shrugged and gave her a bewildered look. That seemed about to cover it. "And I'm going to have to carry on, I'm afraid," said Susan with a sigh. "I'm sorry. I've just been..." She shook her head. "Who would do it?"
"I don't know," said Richard. "Some madman. I'm not sure that it matters who."
"No," she said. "Look, have you had any lunch?"
"No, Susan, you keep playing and I'll see what's in the fridge. We can talk about it all over some lunch."
Susan nodded. "All right," she said, "except..." "Yes? Well, just for the moment, I don't really want to talk about Gordon, just till it sinks in. I feel sort of caught out. It would be easier if I'd been closer to him, but I wasn't, and I'm sort of embarrassed by not having a reaction ready. Talking about it would be all right, except that you have to use the past tense, and that's what's..."